RNN.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means.
Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel.
Tonight's featured show is Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. Welcome to the Republic News Network for our live national broadcast. You may call me Kelby, and tonight I'm going to be acting as your moderator. The RNN, which stands for the Republic News Network, has been doing this radio show since 2010, and it's always been a friendly introduction for the people of the United States Corporation. Here we go. It's true. The United States is a federal corporation, and their exclusive jurisdiction is in the District of Columbia. The Republic government was simply a bunch of U.S. citizens that in law don't have access to the Bill of Rights, and they realized they wanted to be Americans as our founders and our law provided each and every one of us. See, we've been hard at work since 2008, and since 2010, we have successfully re-inhabited the original government vacated under Lincoln in 1861. I know, it's hard to understand. Don't worry. We are law-abiding, peaceful Americans and very pro-government, and we love our country. You can consider the Republic members are tired of the corruption that we see every day. See, we found in the law that there is two forms of government here on the land, and we did something about it. We are people. Mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, we have families just like you. We simply found some truths, and now we're sharing these important truths with the rest of the world. So get ready to hear things that sound amazing, and get ready to understand that you, too, are about to be a part of history. We welcome each one of you to Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel and your Republic, if you so choose. But before we go into our broadcast tonight, please bow your head in prayer.
Lord God, we want to thank you so much for this opportunity to just have another show with Dan Happel expressing the truth to the people. Just protect him, protect his family in this work, and we pray this in your son's name. Amen. Mr. Happel, I yield the floor to you.
Well, thank you, Kelby, and I welcome our listeners tonight to Connecting the Dots, and I have a special guest with me. Of course, most of my guests are pretty special, but this one happens to be particularly special because Michael Shaw is also a good personal friend, as well as being a guest and an expert on a very, very interesting and delicate subject, and that is regionalism and the use of councils of government, which are unelected, local appointed governments that are taking over this country and replacing our duly elected local representation with regional planners and people that are appointed by groups that are above the law, basically. They are not accountable to the citizens like elected officials are. And this is a hugely important issue that gets totally underreported and underrepresented. And tonight we have a really special opportunity to hear from a gentleman who happens to be one of the best experts in the country on this subject and explaining to our listeners exactly what is happening right under our noses. So with that, Michael, I welcome you to the show. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and I want to say the same to all our listeners. I believe that we are in a crucial time where we see things happening and see changes happening in a positive way for the first time in a very long time. And I do believe that the Lord is looking down on us and trying to help us to climb back out of the primordial swamp. So with that, Michael, welcome to the show. And if you would kind of give our listeners a little bit of a background on you and why and how you got so involved in this process.
Well, thank you very much, Dan. I'm happy to be here. I thought that opening quote from John Kennedy was quite profound, because I don't think since Kennedy we've had a president who is not a globalist, who is not a conspirator himself. And hopefully we have somebody in the White House now that, like Kennedy, is not part of that. But we do face a grand threat today, and your description of COGS is what I'm going to expand upon. But, by way of background, I got out of college, went to law school, became a CPA, and then practiced as a lawyer. And, that sort of just gave me a basis in the law and the functionality of America today. And, it always left me a little disturbed. It seemed to me that, the principles that I learned so well in a parochial grammar school about the founding of America and the principles upon which it was founded simply weren't really embodied in the formality of the law, at least back in the early 70s. And today it's certainly much more attenuated from the foundation, the principles of this country. After that, I left a law firm and joined with some pre-existing or prior clients in a real estate development firm. And, it was 1979, which is an unfortunate time because, the world economics blew apart, which gave me a real lesson in real-life economics and the consequences of fiat money, meaning money made out of thin air, and a government that works in cooperation with a central bank that creates that real money. You end up with these kinds of economic implosions, booms and busts that have just continued since 1979, seeing it badly in 1989, and then 2002 and 2008, when does the next one come? I'm not so sure. That gave me some real experience to the real life of business, and for 30 years I operated and owned a self-storage company that built in several states, and more recently I've taken into the battle on Agenda 21. Beginning in the year 2000, I recognized that in my hometown of, at the time, Santa Cruz, California, we were leaders in terms of affecting this globalist program designed to remake the world in accordance with the principles of one world globalism. And I, with others, began to work very hard to advance awareness of this concept, because all through America, the exposure of Agenda 21 was really captured, monitored by government and mainstream press. And it was very difficult to get the word out. I mean, we did what we could. We faced all kinds of hostile cyber attacks. But we made enough progress that, combined with the efforts of a lot of other people and a lot of other issues, Donald Trump was elected. And most of us at least hope that Trump is going to be true to his promises. He doesn't talk about Agenda 21. Certainly Steve Bannon understands it. So one presumes that Trump does know what the globalist program is, and he's certainly been effective at
putting his thumb in their face a little bit. Yeah.
Yes, and so I think it's going to make a difference already, and I hope that continues. So that kind of takes me up to where I am. In the last 5 or 6 years, I've had a focus on these COG organizations, which are councils of government, so-called councils of government, which are unelected bodies that represent a region. Well, those are important terms. A council of government with unelected representatives is made up of, city councilmen and county boards of supervisors, or whatever your local jurisdiction calls them, to this government agency that is organized through the federal government and is designed to replace your local government.
Right. And that's an important thing for people, for our listeners to understand. This is not meant to supplement local government. It is meant to replace local representative elected government.
You know, and that may sound outrageous, and it is outrageous. But what's even more outrageous is that nobody knows about it because the forces that be are part of the globalist movement. Trump is a nemesis. But so far as Trump has done nothing to take on the existence of COGS. And that's a big problem, because if he doesn't take this on, he can do whatever he wants on the jobs front, even on the front. That's so important and such a such a defense against globalism. But if we don't stop the localization of globalist priorities, we're going to lose this battle. And as long as the globalists are able to operate inside the government administration and by their own decision decide to rearrange American government, I mean rearrange it at its core, eliminate local government and put in place a federal agency to make all local decisions. Now imagine if we had an unelected board deciding all transportation issues, all housing issues, all community development issues, and everything that goes along with all of that, replacing everything that city and county governments do, well, you would think you wouldn't be living in America.
Well, you wouldn't be, Michael. That's the point.
Yes. So we've got to ask ourselves, why are we letting this proceed? Because as it proceeds, so goes our future. And we've got to remember the globalist future is one where 85% of the American population is to become gone. Population is to reduce dramatically from 7 billion people to under 1 billion people. Now, that's a policy proviso that I don't think anybody supports.
Well, and Michael, I always remind our listeners when we talk about that population reduction issue, don't think for one second that you're going to be one of those billion people that they're going to save. No matter what you think of yourself, it's going to be selected for their families and the people that pander to them and allow them to function. And frankly, I wouldn't want to live in that world.
Well, if you were chosen to survive into that world, you'd be a slave. And so we're fighting, if not for our life, at least for our freedom. In any event, I mean, we can say freedom is at risk. And that's why people need to come to understand. Your newspaper is not going to report this because they're part of it. Most of these newspapers here, I live in Central California, and in the Bay Area, the newspapers are owned by a Chicago hedge fund. It's basically all the big newspapers in the whole of the Bay Area, including and beyond to Santa Cruz, Sentinel and the Monterey Herald are all owned by the same company that owns the Oakland Tribune. And that company is part of that globalist protectorate. And they don't report to the public the news. You know, Trump calls these the fake news organizations. They don't report that COGS even exist. Because if they did, they know there'd be a backlash to globalism, and globalism would falter. That's exactly what we need to cause to happen. So let's get back to COGS and discuss more about what they are.
Okay, well, and let me add another wrinkle to the discussion just to remind our listeners that COGS, councils of government, are appointed. They're not elected. But there's another wrinkle to that. A lot of these COGS are also funded and politically promoted by different foundations and different special interest groups. And so whenever these groups have a particular agenda, it usually has a privately funded separate special interest group like let's say the Nature Conservancy or one of these groups that are promoting their values and their system. So it literally takes all representative government completely out of the equation.
It definitely does. Except that most of its funding is actually from the feds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And after we get through what COGS are, I'm going to describe the Association of Bay Area Governments. That's ABAG, and they've got $250 billion that's going to be spent into their COGS One Bay Area program, which is an entire remake of how the people in the Bay Area will be living and operating. And this transition is going to change everything about life as you know it. The public doesn't know about it, but the program is being implemented. And that program, at its essence, at least as to the land use issues, gets divided into two broad categories. And the first is the implementation of a smart growth program. And the second is the creation of wildland areas where humans aren't to traverse. And this is what makes the whole concept of COGS very unnerving, because a COG assumes, it's not granted the power, it just assumes the power over all things in an area designed or declared a region. So, for instance, in San Francisco, the COG covers a 9-county area, about 8 million people, 101 cities. And this is the new region that is the governmental authority for all the people in that area. And the cities and the counties give up all their powers to ABAG in order to get handouts, which are fed to ABAG from the federal government, mostly. But there are a lot of nefarious players engaged in ABAG, or engaged in COGS generally. Generally ICLEI. I'm sure that's an organization that people have talked about on your show before.
Mm-hmm.
ICLEI is the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. Now, they're a major focus in most COG organizations. And what ICLEI does is it stands there in the background to implement this land use program of smart growth and the wildlands program throughout the world. They're an international council. They're based in Bonn, Germany, and they've got a hand in ICLEI that's much heavier than the hands of all the citizens of your town. And nobody knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
The press doesn't report it. It's the fake news of no news. And yet this whole idea, I surmise, seems so outrageous that even the President of the United States can't just blurt it out because it sounds too bizarre. But if you go on the line, you'll find that you've got a COG wherever you live, and that COG takes its direction from NARC, which is the National Association of COG Organizations, run at a federal level, and is really doing practices in different locales. They did a heavy program in southern Florida, which did not win out the way they wanted. But in the Bay Area, they're sliding right down the track. The Bay Area, as you would expect, California wants to take the first place here. So the Bay Area is jamming forward to put the all-time program for implementing this globalist program right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And so what happens is in the Bay Area, they've been designated by ABAG a number of what they call transportation corridors, which will be regions that will be redeveloped with multimodal transportation systems. That means trains, buses, and bikes. And within that transportation system designed to get people out of their cars and into government transportation systems, 70% of all development in the next 40 years, all residential development in the Bay Area, has to be within a half mile of these transit centers. The idea is you build massive stack and pack of units with lots of people, no garages, and they walk to their government transportation system.
They call that transportation-oriented development, TOD, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And then in the hills around the bay, these are mostly wildland areas. In places where there are homes, these are called priority conservation areas, meaning get the people out of their houses.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you live in the wrong spot, you're going to be pushed off. You say, well, how do people put up with this?
Mm-hmm. Well, you certainly know about that with your beautiful property there in Santa Cruz and the fact that you could do virtually nothing with it.
Well, you know, that's right. I mean, that's all part of this. It's maybe a separate story, but it shows how local governments, and in Santa Cruz, you know, we were sort of a pilot ground for Agenda 21. We were one of five or six cities across the country, chosen in the mid-'90s. To pilot all this stuff, and so they would take land like mine, which they wanted to block out within the urban area, and say we're going to leave this in an unimproved condition. And so they ignored their own zoning and just refused for 35 years now to let me do anything with my land. And that kind of practice is what will proliferate as this Agenda 21 COG program takes advance, because the objective of globalists is to destroy private property. And they've been doing a pretty good job, though the public has begun to catch on. And so we have some pretty good hope. And the battle begins, or the battle continues.
Well, I think we certainly need to be grateful that Hillary Clinton didn't get elected. I'm not so sure that President Trump is going to do everything perfectly, but at least it slowed down the momentum of the grab for globalism, because I truly believe that if she had been elected president, we would already be in the Agenda 21 nightmare in a bigger, much bigger way than we already were.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. In fact, I think that the insightful would have said upon her election, the insightful but relatively powerless, that describes nearly everybody, that describes essentially all the good regular people. It would have become the time to consider leaving the country, because I do think that we are on a precipitous edge, and I agree with you, the election of Trump kept us from falling over that edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's iffy right now, but Michael, I know you and I have talked about this, and I may be a little bit more optimistic than you are about it, but as a radio show host, I've seen an incredible shift in interest in this country, And I think people are starting to wake up. I really believe that they see that we've got a problem and they're searching for answers. And certainly the election of President Trump, I think, is a primary example of how that was manifest. And I do believe that his election was not a mistake. His election, in spite of all the cheating and the dead people voting and all the ballot switching and all the rest, in spite of all that, they couldn't fix the election because there was so much concern by the American people.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, it was, you know, I was never real surprised that he was elected, but I sure was pleased. And if you take me back 2 years earlier, I'd have thought such a thing was not possible. I would admit to having been more pessimistic. But today, mm-hmm. I think there's lots of reasons for optimism, but it doesn't mean we're over the hump, because as these cogs continue to roll, being unaffected by anything that he's doing, I mean, you know, he needs to wipe out half of the agencies in D.C., including this NARC organization and all of its little subsidiaries called cogs. You know,
mm-hmm.
And they had an innocent enough beginning, and they were certainly warmly embraced by all political perspectives in their time, but they came in the 1950s. It was Dwight Eisenhower who actually brought COGS into being, and their purpose then was I would characterize it as the unconstitutional but still worthwhile effort to put a national freeway system together.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere does the federal government have the power to put together a national highway system. They have the power to put together a national post office system, but not a highway system. And so out of that, COGS grew and grew. California did not accept COGS until the late 1960s, when Ronald Reagan brought them to this state. Ronald
mm-hmm.
Reagan did it, saying, proclaiming that the era of horse and buggy municipal government is over.
Yeah, that's a
all night. What he was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
The effect was, the result is that he was putting in place a system that was going to implement a revolution in America. That is, your town city council has no more power. They've got to do what the COG tells them to do, and the COG tells
mm-hmm.
them to do based upon what the national MO is. And right now, even under Trump, it continues to be the implementation of Agenda 21, because that's what COGs do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I can attest to that personally as a former county commissioner. One of the most resistant, or actually two of the most resistant groups to the recognition that local government should be more powerful than even state or federal government because they more closely represented the people. In Montana, it was the Montana Association of Counties, and in the national arena, it's the National Association of Counties. And there are not two more socialistic organizations and groups of people around, because they think their mandate is to get as much federal money as they can possibly get their hands on and play Santa Claus with all this federal funding. And in the long and the short term of that, they become prostitutes to and bought out by the powerful special interests that are pushing regionalism and pushing Agenda 21 policies.
That's right. Well, you know, you mentioned regionalism. I just, you know, it's worth restating if it's been said in the abstract already. But regionalism is the idea that you take an ill-defined area and you implement policies on that area in accordance with your governmental objectives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can't have a Soviet system without regionalization.
Mm-hmm.
But even
no, that's right.
about regionalization, it is a stepping stone. If you can regionalize all these areas to a common political objective, and that is an objective of a world government, then that's what you can see today. Regionalism today is about putting in systems that advance the pursuit of global government.
Right, and it eliminates borders, because when you talk about regions, all of a sudden county and state and different borders become very, very fuzzy.
Well, that's right, and that's how people coming in from this country across the border without authorization are advancing regionalist principles, which calls for a free flow of people and the demolition of all borders. And you can find a lot of people talking about the elimination of borders as being a positive thing. People haven't thought through the consequence of that to the American idea, which hasn't been lived very well in the last century. But the American ideal cannot be pursued if you take away borders, because if you take away borders, the best law you end up with is a law common to the world. That's what world government wants. And it's a law that results in a massive reduction in the human population. It's a law that has no respect for rights of individuals, natural or civil. Of course, they can always change the civil rights, but it ignores the natural rights of people. It leaves people in a state where, gee, you and I are neighbors, and nobody wants to be. It's only those who want to rule others who want such a system. And they've been able to, you know, gather up through a funny money system, you know, the wealth necessary to exercise the power to begin to dream about that in a real world sense. I mean, that's certainly what George Bush dreams. That's certainly what his father, Prescott Bush, dreamed. And here we are today facing it as I would call it the greatest threat in human history.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Michael, would you maybe talk specifically of some of the things that are going on in California and your region, examples of how regionalism and councils of government are being implemented statewide in California? And incidentally, I want to mention the fact that Richard Nixon was the first president that actually broke our country up under his idea of government emergency planning into seven regions. And, that was Richard Nixon. This is not a party issue. This is a globalist issue, and we have plenty of globalists in both parties.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And, sometimes you can't always tell who they are, but if they're favoring multinational trade pacts as opposed to bilateral trade pacts, they're globalists, because a multinational trade pact takes away all your economic powers. And it used to be thought the world, the political and philosophical world had a large element, the ideas and philosophies behind political economics. Well, the study of political economics faded out a long time ago. It's now politics and it's economics, as though they were separate concepts.
All right.
And, that's dangerous, because America can't stand if we don't have an economic system that reflects the natural rights of people to earn and to keep.
Right, and fundamental to that is that cornerstone concept of private property, because private property can be any number of things, including not only physical property like land and houses and so forth, but it's also your right to think and choose as you wish with your own mind and have the guarantee that your thoughts are protected.
That's right. And at the core, private property is your person.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
Tell me that there's a government structure waiting to reduce our population by extreme amounts, and you can't begin then to suggest that they don't hold a person's private property as to their own person as an thing of value. And so,
well, on that, I'm sorry, you go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that's also why they're trying to get rid of our Second Amendment right to protect ourselves,
sure.
The right to own and bear arms. And the reason for that is because the very essence of the Second Amendment is your right to protect yourself from an over-intrusive government. And that's what the whole concept of the Second Amendment was. But if they can eliminate that, then they can take your property, which is yourself.
Yes. Well, it does begin to equate right exactly down that path.
Mm-hmm.
And, and that's why COGS are so important. They're slipping under everybody's radar today, slipping under everyone's radar. They're poised to take full control, no matter if Trump is able to break the trade lock that globalists have on multinational trade deals, and even if he were to secure the border, if these COGS continue to operate and grow and succeed in the Bay Area and then succeed in Los Angeles and succeed in San Diego, and that's their point of order, Bay Area, L.A., San Diego, and then across the country. If they succeed at that, the country's over. The people will be subject to a new economic system that will not favor the ordinary guy, and will long for the former days of the great American Republic,
right,
and they'll no
right.
longer be operating under a system of COGS.
Well, and it's a matter of nuance. We talked about that earlier today, whether it's called technocracy, fascism, communism, just about any of the isms, the bottom line is it will take away your right to own and produce and do that without having the government control everything you do.
That's right, including yourself.
Including yourself.
You know, I mean, collectivists truly believe that we're pegs in a cog, and therefore the cog ought to control what the peg does. And if you accept that, you're not in line with traditional American thinking, and you may be sour on traditional American thinking, but that's only if you've got a misguided view of both history and philosophy. Because mankind's greatest achievement was our Declaration of Independence.
Absolutely.
And I challenge anyone to come up with a greater achievement done by mankind. Now, over the last 100 years, I mean, starting with the abandonment of an honest money system, this country has been, pushed down and down, and rights have been subsumed at a greater and greater level.
Right.
And
right.
I think we're rallying up and getting ready to say no more. But if we're going to succeed, we've got to take the seriousness of COGS into consideration. They implement Agenda 21 policy. They are a globalist front, and to date, particularly looking at California, they've been enormously successful.
Well, now, Michael,
it's some good news on the front. A lawsuit has been filed against ABAG for a host of statutory and other violations. It's been filed in
well,
the court. We lost
and,
the trial.
And you're right in the middle of that, Michael. I want to mention this so our listeners understand. Michael, and you and Rosa Corey, and you've been funding a large part of this lawsuit yourself. You are really the last hope we've got in the Bay Area to stand against this Council of Government. And so I want our listeners to understand just how important and how influential you are. When you talk about COGS, you have full understanding of what you're talking about.
Well, I've been watching them, having lived in Santa Cruz and been victimized by these policies for so many decades. I've a guy in my position sort of forced to see the reality from the trees. And, if you've got a strong foundation, in understanding what the American experiment is, you just naturally rally up to a defense of principle. And an assault back on the process of evil, because we're facing evil today with the threat of a globalized world where human beings are not valued.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the ultimate in humanism and anti-Christian values. Globalism has no place for Christianity or any of the beliefs that our founding fathers held extremely dear and made part of our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence.
Well, that's right. And you just need to look today to see the sort of the position that religion has taken in our society,
mm-hmm.
the fall of our republic. And undoubtedly, they're connected. And I'll tell you, when the day is over, Americans will long for the freedoms that were once protected.
Mm-hmm. They will. Yeah. Well, let's hope it doesn't get there. And thank goodness to people like you that are willing to stand up and talk about it, because the bottom line is this system that they've got in mind is anything but good for the American people.
Well, that's right. And,
Well, Michael, would you kind of tell our listeners and go into a little bit more detail ways that that we can counteract, that we can fight these programs. A lot of their techniques are things like the Delphi technique, where they go in, they have pre-planned facilitators go into a meeting, and they separate all the dissidents into one group and identify them, and then they try to demonize them, and they go through this whole process to get consensus to something that before the meeting nobody in their right mind would have agreed to. And that's part of the consensus building nonsense. It's part of these programs that councils of government and non-governmental organizations and groups like that are famous for using to, let's say, overstep their bounds and minimalize our local elected governments. Can you kind of tell our listeners ways that they can maybe thwart some of those programs and fight them and stand up against some of these things?
Well, sure. They're really running two tracks today, and that is what I'll call the more old-fashioned track of how globalism gets advanced in your local community. And it's certainly how it happened in Santa Cruz, and it's how it's taken the Bay Area to where it is now, although, the Bay Area is the example for the new way of jamming these policies down the public's throat. Because what's been going on for the last 15 years is that town by town, these policies, these Agenda 21 policies, stack and pack housing, transportation systems that favor bicycles or buses or trains, have been not just in California, not just in the Bay Area, not just in my town, but in your town. I mean your town, wherever
mm-hmm.
you happen to be, because it is everywhere.
mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
the way to slow it down when those programs come from your city council or your board of supervisors or even your state, but more likely the local governments. The traditional way to hold that off is to show up at their silly meetings and spread yourself out in the room and have seemingly independent voices rise out of the crowd with thought-through objections to the latest sustainable development Agenda 21 program that your city council has in mind. Now, either your city council puts on these meetings or their little facilitated consensus groups put on these meetings, and they hold these little town halls, and they just barrage this stuff through like the public is a bunch of dummies.
Mm-hmm.
So the public just shows up and makes reasoned and articulated observations. You know, we've seen it time and again where the public does exactly the opposite of what the facilitator intended, and the meeting ends up by being shut down by the facilitator claiming that this is just not a facilitatable group. That's
mm-hmm.
what you need to do. But in a newer, more modern approach to globalization at the local level, I think because of our success at fighting off here and there, at least, these programs, they decided to do it more administratively, and that's where the COG comes in. Because once the mm-hmm. COG makes the policy, there ain't nothing you as an individual can do. The best thing you can do, in my judgment, is once your COG has assumed the control that ABAG will assume if we lose our lawsuit, they will get that power. The best thing to do is to leave an ABAG jurisdiction because the end is on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. Well, and people need to understand that these so-called sustainable communities are not even close to the kind of freedom that we've been raised and have spent our lives under.
That's right. That we get to talk.
Well, yeah, and I mean, they, you know, private transportation and all these things that we considered almost an American birthright are things that are eliminated under their rules, and people are just supposed to accept them.
Yep.
Well, Michael, I know that this regional planning concept has been something that you've been really, really trying to focus people on in the idea of councils of government. But the regionalism, can you kind of tell our listeners how these ideas, and they are very definitely things that are right out of Soviet planning and some of these other programs, explain to our listeners how this regionalism will, in essence, just make us a hodgepodge of nationalities, will eliminate nations, will eliminate borders, will eliminate different social groups. Their idea is to just turn us into a kind of a common blend of mush.
Well, I think it's to make us a commodity.
Mm-hmm. A commodity.
In the words of so many of them, a commodity in oversupply. Regionalism as a concept is designed to destroy boundaries. See, you say, well, what about the boundary to a region? Well, a region doesn't really have a boundary. For instance,
mm-hmm.
the One Bay Area program out of ABAG, its boundary is these nine Bay Area counties. But when you talk to them when they want to make one of their high-level speeches, they say, well, gee, we ought to include Santa Cruz because it's, you know, it's not on the bay, but, you know, it fits a square that would describe the bay, and it borders the ocean. It would be a nice ocean community for people living in the Bay Area. And gee whiz, we ought to have some land out in the San Joaquin Valley, they say, because we need to grow our own food. You know, the ultimate plan for the Bay Area, as stated, find it on our website at Freedom Advocates, as stated by leaders of the movement is that the Bay Area end up, if it has to secede, it'll do that. It'd be happy to do that. It wants its own seat at the United Nations. That's more important than being part of California, and particularly it's more important than being part of the United States. So mm-hmm. to create these regions with their independent globalist-leaning views with sort of expandable and retractable boundaries, some of which are never really set, so you don't know who's in control, but this all serves the political interests of those who want to have power because it lets them change the rules as they go. Mm. So regionalism is designed to destabilize boundaries. And we've certainly seen the attack on the national boundaries, on the southern side particularly, over the last 3 decades or more. And that all serves these globalist interests of just redesigning and rearranging people on the basis of regions
mm-hmm.
while eliminating any national authority or national boundaries. That's the real goal. You may say, well, why would the United States government support such a scheme? And I go back to Senator Prescott Bush, who was there and a key person in the founding of the United Nations. It's because he and presumably his offspring want one world order. And we used to say when I was young, that was a Northeast establishment attitude. But today it extends all the way to the Packards on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'd like our listeners to remember that George Walker Bush was the one that signed on to the NAFTA idea. Which is basically the same thing as you've got in the European Union, which is eliminating borders and creating this hodgepodge of so-called similar interests in a regional area. And that is all geared toward basically all globalism, where borders and boundaries and everything else are eliminated completely eventually.
Right, and it's done because It doesn't create a trade agreement between the United States and another country. It creates a United States trade obligation.
Right.
A whole set of continents where the continent, substitute global governance, makes all economic decisions that affect the number of jobs you've got, the nature of your capital situation, the trade balances you have or don't have. It affects everything economic in a globalist way, and thereby it affects everything political in an economic way. Multinational trade pacts are designed precisely to do that. And that's
mm-hmm.
why I have this great hope in Trump. He says he's going to get rid of the multinational trade pacts, and if he does that, that'll be a dagger. And if we can win the COG lawsuit, that might be a lethal dagger.
Well, there's no question about it. And I think of back in the early 90s when the first talk was going on about NAFTA and the little general that ran for president.
Perot.
Yeah, that's right, Perot. It was the first one to talk about the great sucking sound of all the jobs going to Mexico and traveling out of the United States. And they all laughed at him, except he was absolutely right. Look how much we've lost in trade to Mexico.
I didn't.
No, I knew that Perot was right on the money with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting because George W. Bush, was one of the biggest promoters of the whole idea of NAFTA, and yet he claimed to be a free trade guy, an advocate of American exceptionalism, and he was the first to sign on.
He's an example of 1984 in the works, you know, words don't mean anything. The dictionary gets smaller and smaller, and the definitions change to what they want them to be. And so when he calls himself a free trader, that's like making words up, because
mm-hmm.
at best he's a managed trader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's like people talking about us living in a system of free enterprise. And, of course, all the little communists and all the colleges are teaching that capitalism is bad and capitalism is dead and is a failed system. We haven't lived under true capitalism for 120 years.
That's right.
You know, we've lived in a managed, controlled system under a fiat currency for, 120 years, certainly 100 years on the fiat currency, and 120 as far as the way the management of our economy has gone.
And maybe longer. I think you can trace mm-hmm. back to the Civil War easily.
Yeah. And I would agree with that. I sometimes understate things just because I don't want people to go into shock.
Well,
but
I think the good news is that in the last years, we certainly saw with the election of Trump, is that people are aware that something's wrong, and that's the first step. You gotta know, if you're drinking too much, you gotta know you have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think Americans now know that we have a problem, and the problem is that our philosophical promise, the purpose to which we're dedicated, seems to have been compromised in these last 150 years. And I say, well, a key step in undoing that is to get rid of cogs.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to find out what they are and get rid of them. Because if we do, we're a long way toward restoring the principles of the union and keeping the union from furthering its purpose, and that is for the individual rights of all under a system of natural law
mm-hmm.
combined with a rational civil law that needs to be purged. We've got too many laws as it is. It's nice to start by deregulating us, but we need a Congress that's going to start pulling back these laws and putting Congress back into the box that the Constitution designed it for,
mm-hmm.
and let people begin to take their freedom, lead their lives, and contribute to an overall improving society.
Yeah, I agree.
As long as we've got this cog with unelected, the way the system works is that the cog comes down to your city council and finds, the sucker that'll bleed globalism, and they put them on the cog. So the cog has all these elected officials who were not elected to the cog. They were elected to city council because they kiss up to globalist principles. They're appointed
mm-hmm.
to the cog, and now they run the local town. They run the local region. And a region normally is comprised of multiple counties. And so these little guys think they're exercising lots of power.
Mm-hmm.
They feel important, and they know the
sure.
one thing they can't do is disappoint the system, because then they're out. I mean, it's like
mm-hmm.
working for the mafia. It's to live under a cog is like living under mafia rule. And
I think that's a good way to describe it, and is V.I. Lenin referred to them as useful idiots, and I think that's a perfect definition of these local elected officials that enjoy going to lunch so often and being called important by all these regional planning groups and so forth that fluff up their ego, prove what complete nincompoops they are when they fall for this crap.
I think that's right, and when California has run its exercise in these cog situations, having preserved a call anyway, at the current time for withdrawing from the union. There's supposed to be something on the ballot. California's indication they want to withdraw. You know, when, as you see all that happening, and you understand that what's really churning Jerry Brown in the California Democrat legislature is this push for the advance of COGS in the implementation of UN Agenda 21.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right on the money.
Seat at the UN, the picture is fully rounded, fully supported. There's no theory involved. It is a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy participated in by the mainstream fake news, and it's one that we're at great risk over.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right, Michael. Well, I hate to say it, but we're getting at the very end of the show here. Would you like to tell our listeners about Freedom Advocates and some of the projects that you've worked on and are working on, and let them know how they can learn more information from your websites?
Okay. Well, the first website I talk about is Globalization of California. And you may not live in California, but, you know, what's happening here, if it succeeds here, and the COG moves forward with its Agenda 21 program, you'll find that in wherever it is you live, it will sweep the country. And so Globalization of California is designed to bring information on this. And you can see a conference that we held in San Francisco a couple years ago with some great speakers on the subject. You can get fully informed as to the nature of COGS and what they're up to.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the process of updating that website. It'll be done early January, and so if you visit it now, you'll get some information, but you get better information here in about 2 weeks. I think that's a key in today's battle, is to understand how these COGS are designed to completely turn your town, your county, your state, whole country upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other website, a long-standing website, a lot of people have worked on this, is Freedom Advocates, freedomadvocates.org. About a couple of years ago, we were thoroughly hacked and effectively the website destroyed. It's taken us since then to restore and improve that website. We're just about done. We need a new homepage still. But you go to that website, you'll find some great articles, well-documented, showing the operation of Agenda 21 over this the course of this century, and you know where its origins came from back in the 70s and 80s and 90s. And you know, that's kind of a timeless source. You know, it seems to me to be a good school research project. You know,
mm-hmm.
Get people more aware of what's really happening in America. And so I recommend, even though we're not quite in our updated spot, it's good enough to begin really digging into, and that's at freedomadvocates.org.
Freedomadvocates.org. And, Michael, I want to thank you for being our guest tonight, and I want to thank you for speaking so truthfully and forthrightly in telling people what's going on in this country. And you are a true patriot, and I sure hope and I will pray for your good fortune in the coming year, and I hope you and Joanne have a very Merry Christmas. Look forward to the chance we get a chance to get together again at some point here in hopefully not too distant future. And I want to thank our listeners and wish all of you a Merry, Merry Christmas and a happy and prosperous New Year. And let's make our New Year resolution this year the resurrection of our constitutional Republican form of government and turning this country back around and creating the vision of our founders. And with that, Kelby, I turn the show over to you, and I wish you and the Republic folks Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, Dan, from Michael Shaw.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Michael.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this week's call with Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. We'll see you next Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. God bless. Good night.
You going to grab your needles? Wait a minute.
back and watch it.
In a minute. Thank you.
have a broken foot and you're asking me what you want. Oh my gosh. Is that wrong?
Oh.